Hello, everyone. On a very, very wet morning in Orpington. It's absolutely hammering down out there. It's the kind of rain I love. It's summer rain, and I would actually like to be sitting outside in it, but I'm a bit concerned about my phone, so that's why I'm inside. I had a phone call from my friend last night, and we spoke for about 5 minutes. Now, what's amazing about that, you might ask, and I'm about to tell you. My friend and I knew each other at school from the age of about 8. We're the same age, but she was 2 years below me at secondary school. I don't know why, but that's how it went. And when we left school, we weren't particularly close at secondary school. We knew one another from our school before. When we left school, we lost touch. And then 2 years later, I was at Leamington with my guide dog, who I had when I was 18, because I was having a lot of problems with her, and she turned out to be a mismatch, and she was actually withdrawn in the end. And I met her there, met my friend there training with her first dog. And I knew her dog's puppy walker, because I was at university in Leicester. So I knew a lot of the puppy walkers in that area, and I knew this particular dog was going on class. And when I got to Leamington, and we were sitting at the dinner table, lo and behold, there was my friend with this dog. So we got in touch again after that, and she's had 3 dogs over the years, but she hadn't had a big gap of 17 years, and she's trained with her current dog 3 years ago. Now, my friend has a very severe form of RP, and so she was born with full sight, which she lost at around the age of 4, and she also had partial hearing. Now, her hearing meant that she wore hearing aids, but if you sat next to her, you could have a normal conversation with her. However, at the age of 20, she thought she had an ear infection, but it just never went away. And what actually happened was that her hearing had deteriorated to the point where she'd lost it pretty much completely. Not completely, completely, because with hearing aids, she could still hear some music. She could hear the music if she was familiar with it and she knew what it was. She couldn't hear the voices or the words. She couldn't hear any words to hear a conversation. Suddenly, she was plunged into this world of silence, really, and she couldn't communicate with anybody. It must have been, I can only imagine, an extremely frightening experience. She still lived at home. Her parents didn't really understand. They just said it was an ear infection, and she did go to the doctors, but no one took it very seriously at first, until she obviously was referred somewhere else and they said, it's not an ear infection, you've just lost your hearing. And at that point, she couldn't communicate with anybody, so she couldn't hear them. And that must have been very, very frightening, but she's a very gutsy person, and I don't know how they talked to her. I suppose they gave her the... I'm not sure about this. We used to correspond endlessly through Braille letters. I mean, we would spend maybe 4 or 5 weeks writing a letter, and when we sent it, it'd be like 300 or 400 pages long. And it'd be like a diary, what we'd done every day. And so we really literally have been through our lives together. And about 2001, we both went over to email. So I never thought email would replace our Braille letters. She did, and she was right, because it has. And we may miss a day, or sometimes now we may even miss a week, but we've got, you know, we can keep in touch through text, because she's got a Braille note deafblind communicator, so she can have her text relayed from a phone to a smaller than a laptop piece of equipment, and she has a Braille display on it. She also uses email with a Braille display, a computer, laptop. And so we've been through our lives pretty much together in that way, and we meet once or twice a year. I've been to stay with her lots of times, and she's been to stay with me, and her husband can see, and she's got 3 kids, and she comes to say, they come to see us. I haven't seen them for a year, but a visit is imminent. I'm sure it will be booed when it happens. You can bet your life on that. So anyway, over the years, well, about 20 years ago, she was told that she was suitable to have a cochlear implant, but she chose not to have it because of the very little bit of hearing she had, which was precious to her, and there was a risk she might lose it. However, her parents always tried to pressurise her into it and say, well, think of what you're missing out on, you can't hear your children and all that. But she's got very good communication with her children because from quite an early age they learnt to fingerspell. So, and they've got other ways of communicating, or they did have when they were very small. So actually, I don't think she missed out on the sound of their voices. And but her husband's very good at keeping up to date, you know, keeping at telling her what they say, and, you know, when they were younger and they couldn't do the fingerspelling. Now they're 20, 18 and 14. Two sons and a daughter. Now, she got to thinking about the implant again, and she went to have another assessment because it had been 20 years had gone by and technology's changed and things have changed, and she didn't know if she would still be suitable, and they said yes, she was. They explained the risks to her. They said that there's a very small chance that it could affect her balance, but she had good balance. She had to undergo lots and lots of tests where they sounded awful, where they squirted water and stuff in your ears to make you feel dizzy, so you feel like you're laying down, but you feel like you're all over the place, basically. And then she had to stand up, and they did. Anyway, they said she was suitable, and that because she was blind as well, because a lot of people who have the implant are only deaf, or deaf with some sight, but because she's got practically no sight, just light perception, they suggested that she have both ears done. So in December, she went to Addenbrooke's Hospital and she had the implants fitted, and then they had to leave it a month or so. And since then, every month or 6 weeks or 2 months, she's been returning for therapy. Now, she can speak clearly because she has never lost that ability, even though she lost the ability to hear speech. But her brain has obviously not heard speech for a very, very long time. Well, getting on for 30 years. And so it's taken a long time. Now, as soon as she had the implants, they're like a little, I haven't seen them yet, but they're like a little thing that's implanted behind your ear into your skull. And then you wear, I think they are kind of like hearing aid transmitters. You wear them behind your ear and they magnetically connect with the thing inside your skull. I don't know exactly technically how it works. She has explained it to me, but I couldn't seem to retain it, you know, my age and all that. Only joking. Anyway, she could straight away hear new sounds that she'd never heard. She'd get really excited and she'd email me and say, oh, I heard someone flushing the toilet today, and she heard her husband's Tassimo machine, and she could hear the kettle boiling and things like that. She could hear her guinea pigs. She breeds and shows guinea pigs. And she'd get really excited about it. Now, they can do different programs on the ears, on the implants. They can turn it up or down. They put it on a low setting at first because obviously it would be overwhelming to have so much sound that you don't remember, because it, you know, remembering what sound looks like, honestly, I'm really going to see now. Remembering what things sound like and what they actually sound like don't always match up. It's like if you've got suddenly got your sight back. We think we remember what things look like, but actually it's probably not quite how we imagine it. Anyway, yesterday morning, I had a text from her saying, can you email me your landline number? And I had a feeling that she was going to call me. I didn't see what else it could be, because I've got her husband's mobile, he's got mine, and I've got, you know, obviously I'm in touch with her as well through text and email, and I've got their landline number somewhere, not that I ever use it. And I thought, well, I was thinking, what? She said she had a surprise for me. Now, all day I was on tenterhooks, because I had a feeling it was going to be, you know, that she was going to ring me, and I was really worried that I was going to let her down, she wouldn't be able to hear what I was saying. And I couldn't even eat my dinner because I was so anxious about it. Anyway, I think it was about 9:15, I still hadn't eaten my dinner. The phone rang. First of all, the phone rang and it was my mum, and I went, oh, it's you. And I didn't mean to be rude, but because I was all hyped up for it, you know. And then about an hour later, she rang. The phone rang, I answered, and it was her husband. He said he had her on the phone for me. And then she said, hi, and I said, hello, and I said it quite clearly, but she said, I've been to Addenbrooke's yesterday, and They asked me if I wanted to use the phone, and I said we'd leave it till next time, but I kind of got badgered into it. And then I did so well that I wanted to try and call you. She said, but I can't hear you. And I thought, oh, here we go. And I was quite upset, and I thought, I'm not going to let this fail. So I said to her, I thought, I've got to speak slowly, clearly and slowly, but not shout, but just speak a bit louder. So I said, shall I talk a bit louder? And then she got it, and then that was it. We were off, and I just couldn't believe it. And she told me afterwards, she sent me an email. She said they've got an amplifier on their phone. It's not a loop or anything. It just happens to be that that's the kind of phone they've got. So her husband turned it up, so she was able to hear me, and I didn't have to shout. I did speak quite loud, but you don't shout because that just distorts the sound. I know she's told me when people try and talk to her, because she can't rely on speech yet. She still has to do the fingerspelling a lot of the time, but she is hearing more of it now, and it's just a case of practicing, really. But she said she hears it when people aren't trying. When they start trying, they try too hard and they shout and they speak too fast. So I knew I had to speak slowly, but we had a 5-minute conversation, and we talked, and she didn't know what I was going to say, so she definitely heard me. And one of the things she's always wanted me, she said, as soon as I get my hearing back, the one thing I want to hear is you saying arseholes. Don't ask me why, but because I always make her laugh when I talk to her through fingerspelling, which obviously I can do fluently. If someone gets on our nerves or something, or I'm pissed off about something, I'll just say, I'll fingerspell on her hand, oh, arseholes. And sometimes I write it in my email. I don't even know where I got it from, but she says it as well. So it's been a standing joke that the first thing she wanted to hear me say arseholes, and then she knows it's been worthwhile. Anyway, she heard me say arseholes, and she said arseholes to you too. And we had a good laugh about it, and we just talked about how's the kids and all that. And she did really well, and she got quite tearful, and I felt very emotional as well, because as she said, it's the first time she never thought she'd be able to use a phone again. And I think it's just a matter of practice till she can, I think if she practicing with the speech so that she can eventually, I think she will be able to follow normal speech in everyday life. She may not be able to rely on it totally, but who knows? Other people do. It's just that she's been without hearing for a very long time. But anyway, it's brilliant. It's been, only 6 months or so since she started the therapy, and she hasn't been going, you don't go that regularly. So she is doing really well, and it was really fantastic to know that she could hear me. And she was really overwhelmed. Well, I was. It was a very overwhelming experience, actually. And I hope we're going to do it again soon, because I think... And I was really honoured that I was the first person she wanted to try out on, because she said she thought she needed someone that's going to speak clearly and be patient. And I don't know why she chose me, but there you go. She did. And I feel quite honoured that she chose to speak to me first and try it out. And as I say, I was really nervous, because, and especially at first when she said she can't hear me, I thought, oh no, I felt so sorry for her, and I thought, we've got to try and make this work. So it was a combination of me speaking a little bit more loudly and very slowly, and her husband turning up the phone, and then we got there, and she didn't need to rely on him to relay anything, because I can have a conversation with her on the phone. I have done it occasionally, but it's been through him, with him relaying what she's saying. Through him relaying to her what I'm saying, if you know what I mean. And we used to communicate via something called Type Talk, which is a phone service where she would ring them on her computer, and she would type what she wanted to say to me, and that they would have called me, or if I was ringing her, I would have called them, and they connect to her. And then she types what she wants to say to me, and then they tell me, and then I say what I want to say back. And we used to be, because it takes a bit longer, we used to be on the phone for hours like that sometimes. But now, obviously, computers replaced that, because we didn't need to do that anymore, because we had email, so that pretty much knocked that on the head. And now she, the last couple of years, she's been able to text me as well, that was brilliant. That was, a fantastic thing when she was able to start doing that. But the phone is just taking everything to another level, really, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them and you know, seeing what she can hear in my mad mental household. Anyway, I just thought I'd come on here and talk about that, because it was amazing.